great to have you here. We call this Discipling Men. Quick introduce myself. My name is Rock Bottomley. Came to Christ through the Navigator Ministry many years ago out at the Air Force Academy. That's where I was a student, and probably like some of you, my roommate shared Christ with me my first year out there, and then followed me up for the next, 3 years. And I think by the time I graduated, I finally made it through the TMS. I remember sitting up in Falcon Stadium after graduation reviewing my verses so I could leave. But anyway, that was my roots, and really the first 10 years of my spiritual life was the NAB ministry, so this is my family, in the military, in college, so forth. Then finished out my commitment to the Air Force and felt called to ministry, so I left there, went to seminary at Dallas, and really the last 30 years been pastoring churches and teaching. Did a stint at Focus on the Family. Somebody mentioned that. Yeah, teaching. So love that. Now back pastoring, and I'm back leading a church here in Oklahoma City called Our Lord's Community Church. So it's great to be with you. I want to tell you a little bit. This is a workshop on discipling men, but it applies just as well to women, but most of us are men in here. So I want to speak specifically to you guys. Tell you a little of the backstory of this. When I came to the church that I'm at, basically the people said, we want you to teach us to be disciples and to help others be disciples. Help us to be and make disciples. That matched, as you can tell, a little bit of my background. I love doing that. That's what I grew up having done to me and doing. And so we said, great, let's get started. And so we started, just working through your notes there, we started by just settled pretty quickly on what a disciple is. Disciple is somebody who follows the master, follows the rabbi. And very specifically, as you know, as we talked about that, we said a disciple is a devoted follower. And it's somebody who is, the main thing in their life is to learn what the teacher, the rabbi, has to say and to become just like him. That's really, of course, as you look in the New Testament, this is what discipleship is all about. It's becoming just like the master. And, of course, our master is Jesus. So we talked about that. And, of course, Jesus talks about this call to become like him. And, again, in the East, in the Jewish culture of the first century, discipleship was it was fully devoted. I mean, I'm all in. And you see that where the young men that he recruited, and those young guys were probably teenagers, early 20s. So you guys at OU, you would have been the kind of guys that Jesus called. That's James and John and Peter and Andrew and those guys. They were late teens, early 20s. Peter is probably the oldest, maybe mid-20s. John the youngest, probably about 18. So he called those guys, and it was all in. They left everything to follow him. From then on, their whole purpose in life was to, they so loved this master that they wanted to learn what he had to teach and learn to live to be just like him. And so discipleship is a fully devoted life. The design of it is to become just like the master. And so we talked about that at the church. So this is what we're here to do, is to help people move from going to church to living for God, from having God on the edge of their life where they talk to him when they need him, to put him at the center where their whole life is focused on knowing and following him. From having God as the one who serves me and helps me fulfill my dream, to where I serve him and help fulfill his dream. And of course, this is a radical shift in Bible Belt Christianity. This is a major shift of paradigm. And discipleship is a major shift from going to church or being a professing Christian or checking the Christian box in the preferred religion. It is a major shift of life. So that's what we want to do, is help people make that shift to where God is at the center. They're living a life fully devoted. That doesn't mean that everything I do is religious. It doesn't mean I spend all my time worshiping, reading the Bible, and praying. But it does mean that everything I do in a way that pleases and honors him and is the way he would be happy about. That's what we decided we're all about. We talked about practically, what does this mean? At some point, you've got to change this word disciple into something that people can access, they understand, they can do it. And as we looked at the scriptures, we realized that Jesus calls us to kind of three dimensions. I mean, discipleship's not hard to understand. Now, it's not easy to do. It's hard to do because there are a number of things that push back against this, but it's easy to understand. We said, essentially, as you look in the scriptures, When Jesus calls a man, woman to discipleship, he's calling them to embrace a pursuit of God that has three dimensions. One, of course, is up, and that's our connection with the Lord directly. Then there's an in, there's a companioning. We're a body, two are better than one, and this sort of thing. And then there's an out. There's a mission. There's something that God has given us to do. And that has to do with fulfilling the Great Commission. And so you see these, of course. So we talked about this. Okay, so we want to make disciples. So what we're saying is we want to lead people into a lifestyle of these three things. If you're navigators, you recognize this is just the wheel simplified. The up, of course, is prayer and the Word and the ministry of the Spirit, which we'd put at the hub. The in is fellowship. The out is witnessing. So we said, okay, up. You see that in the Scriptures. Jesus calls us. And again, this is a major paradigm shift for most people. And you'll see this in your world. The more Christianized your world, the greater the paradigm shift, I think, in this. But he calls us to a direct, firsthand connection with Him. In other words, He wants us to know He loves us like a father. He wants to talk to us. He wants to listen to us firsthand. And you see this, Jesus talks about vine and branches. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me, that is, you live in me, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. So that's that up. And when we talked about that, we said what this means for our people is we need to help lead them into a lifestyle of daily time, reading the Bible firsthand, asking the Spirit to teach them, help them understand it, talking to God firsthand by the power of the Spirit and so forth. So this is all about daily time with God. You guys know about that. The end part of it, again, we're trying to make the shift from fellowship, which is coffee, and it's what Skip was talking about, billiard balls kind of bouncing off each other. And you know, you can be part of a church and life falling apart on the inside and nobody knows because there's no forum to really talk about my marriage, my insides, my besetting sin, the things that would grab and hold me in the normal flow of our Christian community. So we said we've got to help people move from just having coffee together and coming to worship services to getting in a companioned relationship, something up close where they know my soul and I know their soul and we're open and honest and we help each other. You see, Jesus, of course, talks about loving one another. It's not just having warm, kind of affectionate feelings towards one another. It's a strong companioning together to help each other get to the end and finish well. Our expression is what we call D groups. Well, that's what we want to talk about. We'll get to that. What does that look like for men, for adult believers? And finally, of course, there's the out, and this is just a call to join God in His wonderful venture to rescue the world from sin and death, to bring people to new life in God, restore people, restore the earth, and get us back to paradise for eternity. That's where Jesus calls us in the Great Commission, go make disciples of all nations. And this has to do with winning people, helping people understand the love of God and respond to that and give themselves to Him. And then building them, help them become like Him so they're growing. And then sending them out so they can multiply the way God wants to populate heaven, same way He populates earth, by people having babies, having children, multiplying. And so we talk about that. And we talk about that, and we said, you know, let's start by helping people realize that they're called to their world, wherever that world is, neighbors, people they work with, they reach your world. That's that RYW, reach your world. And we encourage everyone to have one person there, loving, praying for, and telling about Jesus. Okay. Now, when we looked at this, we said, what do we need to really make disciples of our body? Because we had a body of people, most of whom had never been discipled. They'd been churchgoers. They had a reverence for God. They loved the Scriptures. They had reasonably good theology. But they'd never been discipled. They'd never been called into a life of full devotion to God. Never been called into an active pursuit where they're really going after God between Sundays in a very conscientious sort of way. So we said, what do we need? And of course, what we realize that we need is we need lots of laborers. That is, we need lots of people who are able to help disciple other people. Jesus talks about this, of course, in Matthew 9. He said, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he'll send forth laborers into his harvest. In other words, what Jesus was saying, is there something that people need to live for God that I cannot give them? Now, that's, you need to think about that. There's something people need that God, the Savior, cannot give them, particularly as he was there in a body. And what that is personal attention, right? He could, when he saw the multitudes, he went up on the mountain. And after he sat down, his disciples came to him and opened his mouth. He began to teach them, saying, blessed are, so forth. So he could teach the multitudes, but he could not give people personal attention over a long period of time. And because he was one man, he was there in a body, and while he was here on the earth, he couldn't do that. And so he recognized for people to become disciples, they need personal attention. Now, that's a huge thing. That's the point of this passage, is God is telling us, people need that touch. There's so many things that happen that are wonderful when a person has personal attention, and they don't happen sitting in an auditorium going to a worship service. The whole thing of value, that you matter, and happens when you're in a little group of three or four people and somebody really loves you. I mean, now all of a sudden you think, gee, somebody cares about me. I'm not just a widget in the big group. The whole thing of dealing with inner struggles, you're not going to do that sitting in a congregation. That's going to happen up close and personal. Whole thing of accountability, of just being kind of pushed to follow through on things your heart really desires. I look back on my life, every major step in my life came out of a personal challenge. Didn't come sitting in a worship service. I mean, and I love worship, so I lead, I preach, but I know there's limits to that. I came to Christ. My roommate shared Christ with me. He says, that night, he said, now, do you want to receive Christ tonight? No, I don't want to receive Christ tonight. I didn't want to do it because I knew it had changed my life in a big way and I wasn't ready yet. But he kept after me. So he kept praying for me. About 3 weeks later, they had an Andrew dinner where the Christian guys brought their pagan friends, and I was his pagan friend. So he prayed for me. He said, hey, will you come tonight? So it was a personal invitation. It was pizza and off for the academy. Yeah, okay, I'll come tonight. So he sat with me, came, got me, put me on the bus, and off we went. And a teacher from the academy shared the gospel, and another guy, car dealer, shared how Christ changed his life. And that night, I gave my life to Christ. But my roommate, he didn't know. He brought me back, and it was funny. We came back to our dorm room. We're sitting in they have taps. You have to all be in bed by 10:30 or whatever, midnight, I guess, on the weekend. So, but he wanted to find out, had I gotten it? Had the lights come on? So there are about four of us. I think what we need to do is we need to pray around the circle. And he just wanted to hear, what was I going to say when it got to be my turn? So I think there was about six of us kind of gathered in our room, and I was maybe three, and I said, God, thank you for giving your life for me, and I give my life to you. And that was the end of the prayer meeting. That's all he wanted to know, is did that happen? So he said, okay. And as I recall, that night he made me memorize my first verse, 1 John 5:11 and 12, in the bunk before we went to bed. But I came to Christ because of personal attention. I mean, he followed me and so forth. Then when it came to growing, I began to grow because of personal attention. He wake me up in the morning, said, look, you said you want to follow Jesus. Well, that's not just a decision you make and fill out a certificate. It's a lifestyle. So he'd get me up, and he taught me how to have a quiet time. So, we read the Bible together. We'd pray together. He taught me how to pray, ACTS, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. And I didn't know how to pray. These are things God wants you to talk to him about. So again, I began growing because he showed me how to do this and got me involved in scripture memory and so forth. And then the funny thing is, when it came to helping other people, again, it was personal attention. I could have sat forever attending meetings and growing and learning, thinking other guys can do this, but I can't do it. I'll tell you the story. We were seniors at the academy. We had a cadet retreat. There were about 90 guys filled out cards and gave them to the chaplain, said, we would like help. Would somebody come and help me grow spiritually? Well, the chaplain, he was just one guy. He couldn't do that. But he knew there were about 30 of us that met on a Sunday night. He gave those 90 cards to us. Now, we were engineers. We didn't know a lot relationally, but we could do the math. 90 divided by 30, 3. So we each got 3 cards. So I'm sitting there, and they give me 3 cards. And I think, and probably like many of you, or like many of the people you're with, I think, wait a minute. And the deal is, go find these guys and get them in a little small group, teach them how to grow. So I thought, oh, I can't do that. You know, nobody listens to me, and I'm not sure I have time. I'm not sure I want to do this. So I threw the cards in my drawer and just forgot about it. Well, the next Sunday, lo and behold, we'll get back together, and guess what the agenda is? Let's all tell what happened when we went to go visit our three guys. Well, you know, we have an honor code at the academy, so you can't lie. So you click, 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 click around. Well, I put mine in my drawer, and I didn't go see him. Well, so my roommate, again, comes and said, now look, you can do this. Just do with him. Remember what we did? How I read the Bible and you taught me how to pray and we memorized these verses. You go find these guys, get them together and do that. I mean, that was the pushing that I needed. All I'm saying is that each getting converted, starting to grow, beginning to minister to others at each level, I needed personal attention to push me to that next stage. And I think that's true of 90% of us. Some of us are self-starters and we just listen, boom, off we go. 90% of people need somebody. Not to push in the sense of prod or drive, but just to affirm, encourage, say, hey, you can do this and do it with us. Okay, so what are we saying? We're saying when it comes to disciple making, we need lots of people who are able to turn around and help another person grow. So if we're going to do this at our Lord's Community Church, we need to know what we're doing. We're trying to get people who are fully devoted, and their goal in life is to become just like Jesus. And we need a bunch of people who can work in small groups with people to give them that personal attention. In other words, laborers. And we realized with adults, and I know you guys, and this is true of college students, true of adults, we needed something when we talked about method. How are we going to do this? How are we going to train a bunch of people to be able to turn around and help people grow? We needed to be simple, and particularly with men. Men, well, some of it is we're simple-minded. That's not necessarily true, but we're very busy. I mean, you guys know. You know what it's like to, particularly when you graduate from college, you step into a work situation, you get married. Now you've got a wife, pretty soon come children, now you've got a family. We needed something particularly in discipling men. It had to be simple, something that they could remember. Frankly, we were looking for something that required, and this is almost heresy, but no preparation, either by the leader or by the person. It's something we can do together when we get together. It needed to be simple in terms of resources, too. We needed to make this as simple as possible so guys didn't have to get books and resources and that kind of thing. And we needed it to be nutritious. In other words, we wanted something that when they got together, it would really feed their soul. It was like an energy bar. It was full of life. And because men are busy and men do not have time for things that waste their time. So they have to know when I get there, good things are going to happen, things that I really am glad and want to happen in my life. So nutritious. As we thought of men, we realized particularly that men need, there are three things that men need to grow that they do not get unless it's very intentional and deliberate. They need to get in the Bible and read it for themselves. Second thing, they need to be able to have a place to talk about their life. I mean, men have their struggles and strains and they need a place where they can talk openly about both the joys of life but also the struggles of life. So they need to talk about life because men are practical. A man, he's about accomplishing what I'm supposed to be doing. And then the third thing they need is prayer. I mean, men need to learn to pray and get prayer, receive prayer. They need the power of God working. So we said, okay, we want to create something where you get men in the Bible. They talk openly about their life. I mean, the real thing. How's your marriage? How would your kids describe you? What are the temptations you're struggling with? You know, how's it going at work? How are you dealing with anger and the frustration of life? These kinds of things. And so it needs to be nutritious, and it needs to be reproducible. In other words, this has to be something that you can give to any normal guy, and he could say, yep, you know, I could lead that. I can learn how to do that. I can turn around and get two or three men and reproduce it. Okay, so that led us to what we call disciples groups. And this is the core of what I want to talk to you guys about here. call them D groups. This is what they are. Small group of disciples. That is, it's a small group of people who are wanting to grow in their love for God, their devotion to God. They want to learn how to be godly men. The goal of it, everybody knows, is to be disciples. It's like a fitness group. It's like guys who meet at the Y. We know we're there to work out. We're not there to sit on the mat, sip coffee, and watch Oprah on TV. We're there to lift weights and do what you need to get fit. And that's what a D group is. It's men who understand we are here to help each other live for God. It looks like you can be as small as two. A D group can be two guys, a guy who's leading and one other guy. So that's man-to-man. Those of you that love man-to-man, that's a D group in our church, in our system. But it can go up to six. And anything more than six, it's too big because guys don't get time to really play. They don't get to participate. We wanted to make this something you could do any time, depending on the time. Some guys get together early in the morning. Some get together over a lunch break. Some get together late at night after they put the kids to bed. Somebody's house. They may meet at 9 to 10 o'clock. And so you can meet any place. You meet at Starbucks, a home, a church, a break room at the office, whatever. So that's what a D group is. It looks a little bit like, if it's a group of men, you guys would know this. It looks a little bit like this. Guys sitting around. If it's a group of women, it's looking something like that. But this is what we're doing. Now, how do we do it? Here's what I want to share with you, and what they've asked me to share is, as we said, okay, we're here to make disciples. We need to train a lot of people to be able to do this. We need to be able to train them to do this, not only in the church, but out in their world, in the office, in the school, in the practice, wherever it is that they are. And we need to teach them how to do something that really will help men grow in their faith and keep it simple. So this is what we came up with. And again, it goes back to those basic three things, up, in, and out, keeping it simple so everybody can remember what are we trying to do. But I'll just describe it, and then we're going to see if we can do it here. So what we decided is, okay, let's shoot for about an hour. Again, we're discipling men. They have limited time. Maybe they have an hour for lunch. They have an hour after the kids go to bed. It can go an hour and a half, really, but you need a minimum of an hour. So the first 25 minutes, it's up. And it's very simple. We read the Bible together. You can pick a book that we sense would be good for this group. So you got non-believers. Maybe they're seekers. Maybe they're brand new. Pick the book of John. You got a bunch of guys in a workplace trying to figure out how to do life. Maybe you do Proverbs together. You need some perspective. You just need some doctrinal grounding. Pick Romans. But you pick a book that'll feed the souls of the group you got. And you read a chapter each time you get together. This is very simple. So the only material you need to do a D group is a Bible. So we all come, we bring our Bibles, and we know we're reading through X book together. So we read. Second thing we do, and this is important, because this is what takes it, again, takes us off of the church. I don't want to be American Christianity, where it's kind of conceptual and it's doctrinal, to life, where we're really becoming transformed and living like Christ, is we journal. We have guys write. We just get this is actually the second piece of equipment. I get them a Walmart composition book like this, and we call it Father's Words. This is God's words to me. So what we do after we read is we go back and say, now I want you to go back. God knew you were going to read this before the foundation of the world, and I want you to listen for the whisper of God. Where is He speaking to you about your life and your situation? This isn't about theological insights or concepts or how bad the world is and what the world needs. This is about you. What is God saying to you? And we teach them, hey, this is theology 101. You come to Christ, you're born again. That means the Holy Spirit comes to live inside you. That means there are two people living in your body from that point on. You live in there with all of your soul and all your memories, and God lives in there. And He's a person, and He can talk to you. And if you'll listen, learn to listen, you'll sense as you read through, there'll be a whisper, the gentle whisper. That's how the Bible talks about the whisper of the Spirit saying, hey, this is for you. This is where I want you to pay attention. So that's what we do. We say, now we've read the chapter together. Now I want you to learn to be a spiritual man and listen to the Holy Spirit and what He wants to say to you out of this chapter. So we do. And you think, I don't know if that'll work. It works. I mean, you need to know your theology is righter than you think. God actually does live in there. He does speak to people. And so we have them write, this is what God is saying. So that's what we do. We just have them write it down, two or three sentences, you know, on what God is saying to me. Then we share that with each other. Now listen, this is great. Most men don't talk about their spiritual life, but we're asking them to say, what is God saying to you? And of course, we learn from each other, but you also learn about their life. This guy's saying, God is sharing with me, man, I need to be more considerate of my wife. I've been a real jerk and short and all wrapped up in work. And so he's sharing. Guess what God is saying? And so you're hearing about his life. Another guy is sharing, man, I need to be respectful of the guy I work for. I mean, I hate this guy's guts. And yeah, I without intending, I talk mean to him. I just resent everything. I need to do that. Another guy is sharing, man, I need to just watch my eyes. You know, I'm just a struggle to keep my eyes pure. So as guys are sharing what's in the scriptures, they're sharing their life. So it's challenging guys to be honest, right? To be open, honest. That's humility. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Anyway, so that's up, and then we share. So that's 25 minutes. Okay, we're in a little group of three or four. Now think about this. You've got men reading the Bible. That's a big deal. They're asking, what is God saying to me? That's a really big deal, far beyond most Sunday school classes. Then you've got them telling, this is what God's saying to me. That's a big deal. I mean, it's hard not to grow in an environment like that. Second thing we do is we have a life question. And if you've got your hand out there, you'll notice when it says that one that says, start a D group, I think is what it's called. In there, we've listed about 30 or 40 life questions. Now, when I do this, and by the way, I do this, I lead a D group with my staff. I've got three other men, key guys in the church. I lead it with the elders. This is the first hour of our elders meeting, is a D group, just like this. Before we do business, this is what we do as elders. Most semesters I have two or three other, I've got a group of peers. These are guys where they're my accountability guys. I do this with a peer group, by the way. So in my present situation, I've got three of these that I'm involved with. These are my peers, and they kind of are my little board. And then usually, I don't this semester because I'm doing another thing, but I usually have two groups of other guys that I pick who I think will be good at this. But what we do is we do a life question. Sometimes on the group, on the way there, I'll say, Lord, what do you want us to talk about? God will bring something to mind. I'll use that. Most of the time, I just take these questions, I cut them up, I put them in a bowl, and I pick one out. Say, this is the one we're going to use today. So all I'm saying is, as a leader, now listen, as a leader, this is a no preparation deal, okay? We're going to come, we're going to read the Bible right there, we're going to journal right there, we're going to share what God is saying. Then there's a life question, and often I'll just pick one of these right out of a bowl, say, okay, let's let God decide what we're going to talk about today. So I'll cut those up, pull them out, we all answer that question. And you can see it. I mean, talk about your marriage. What's going well, what's not going well? Now that's inviting men to be open and honest, and it's inviting us to help each other do things that are important to God and do them right. You can make up your own questions, but those are ones that we've done. So that's about 25 minutes. Again, there's no other place in most men's week where they talk about their life and what's really happening, right? You don't do that around the cooler at work. You don't do it in a Sunday school class. You don't do it, you know, in a worship service. I mean, this is one place where you're asking a guy, how is your life going? And he gets to talk about that. Then the last thing that we do, so 25 minutes here, 25 minutes here. Last thing we do is out. And actually, we do two things here. We pray for each other. I mean, we've just shared from two directions. We've shared how my life is, what God is saying to me through the Word. That gives me a window into his life. We've just talked about how's our marriage going, strengths and, you know, things that are happy, things that are hard or whatever. I mean, guys have just opened up, so you don't want to just let guys lay there. You want to pray. I mean, that gives you plenty of stuff to pray about. So we pray for each other, and then we ask each guy in that group to have one person who's out there in their world that they're trying to lead to Jesus. And so that's where we pray for that person, and we kind of share with each other how we're doing, what's kind of the next step. Okay, I'm praying for him. I'm showing him kindness. Now, the next step is to ask him some questions about his God life. Okay, let's pray God to give you the courage, open his heart, give him a willingness. So we're kind of praying each other forward in terms of sharing Christ with one person out there in my world. So that's it. That's our D group. To be honest, it usually takes a little bit longer than this, hour and 15 minutes, sometimes hour and a half. I mean, once you get men in this, and you're not just wasting their time talking about football and weather and gardening, but, you know, you've got some grist, you get them into the Scriptures, they're listening. Man, men, you say men don't talk. They do talk when you give them something worth talking about. So when you get the Bible and you get their life, that's worth talking about. So that's what a D group looks like. This is what we're doing at our Lord's, and we find it is simple. The only tools that you need actually is a Bible. I have these sheet of questions. You can have those. I put those in a little bowl and we pick them out. And I get them a little journal about like this. And that's it. The only assignment for this thing, frankly, that we have in our D groups is have a quiet time each day between our meetings. Actually, I tell them 5 days. I say, look, have a quiet time Monday through Friday. Don't have one Saturday so you don't become legalistic. You need to know God loves you whether you do this or not. And you need to learn to, you know, you need to learn to feel safe and okay with God if you don't do this. This is not a rosary beads or a, you know, our equivalent of a good luck charm or rabbit's foot that makes life, gives you good luck as you go through the day. You need to know, look, God loves you and He hovers over you and has His angels over you and fills you with His Spirit whether you do this or not. And then Sunday, go and do life together in your community. But Monday through Friday, have a quiet time. That's our only assignment. You know, just walk with God between our meetings. That's what we're trying to help each other do. Okay, so that's D group. Now, any questions on this? Anything you want to ask about? Yes, Lord?
Is this out on your church website tomorrow?
It is. Yes, live questions. You know, I'm trying to think. Is it? I think it is. Under our D groups, it has that. Yeah. OLCC.org, Our Lord's Community Church, OLCC.org. Yep. Jack, yeah.
What context do you do this in a restaurant or you somebody's home?
You know, I mean, I'd say theoretically you can do it in a restaurant, but guys need to be free to. I mean, you are asking, you know, this isn't a theological, what do you see here? That's not what we're doing here. We're doing life stuff. And I don't mean to make that heavy. It's just guys need to feel free to talk about, you know, spirit, their God life and what's going on in their life. So usually it's in something a little more private. Guys who work, do it in their office. You know, if you can find a quiet corner someplace. Yep. But now can you feel, look, you guys are all making disciples, I know, and there are 100 ways. I think the bottom line, what we found when you move into the adult world is, particularly with men, is it's got to be simple and it's got to be nutritious. In other words, they have to have a sense, this is helping me do life. Because most men don't have time for esoteric kinds of pursuits that are kind of interesting and abstract. They want to, man, how do I do life? So that's, it needs to be simple. And it needs to be, what I found too, is this is easy to lead. That's the other thing, for the leader. No preparation. Anybody with reasonable relational skills can lead this. I mean, I don't have to be a counselor or teacher. All I have to do is go first. So, okay, we're going to read the Bible, then we're going to write what God is saying. Okay, so I'm going to lead out. I'll read mine first. Talk a little bit about it. Now, it's your turn. Life question, what's going, you know, how are you dealing? What's your most pressing temptation and how are you dealing with it? Okay, I'll go first. Let me tell you where I really struggle and this is how it's going. So if a guy is willing to go first, he can lead in this. And it's really nutritious. Again, I inherited a church, largely good, godly, church-going people, love God, love the Bible. Nobody had ever discipled them. Nobody had ever taught them how to live for God on a daily basis. This was very accessible to them. And they realized. And people began. Our goal the first year I was there was to try to get everybody just to have a quiet time. I told them, look, if you love this place, do this. We taught them how to do 15 minutes with God. It's like braces on teeth. If you just do this, it'll pull everything straight over time. You know, your character may be all crooked, it'll pull it straight. Doctrine may be fouled up, it'll pull it straight. And it's the best thing you can do for us as a body. You do this, I guarantee you, we won't be criticizing each other and bad-mouthing each other and do all the things that churches are notorious for. We'll actually like being together. We'll be nice people. God will make us nice. So that was kind of that. Yes, back here.
College level.
College level.
Yes. that way they
can.
I know a lot of these questions about marriage and kids.
Yep.
But I don't have marriage and kids at work.
Yep.
At school.
Yes.
But is there a way that we can kind of channel some of them?
Good. Casey, you bet. I would just take the questions and delete the ones that don't apply. Add the other ones that do, you know, there's some other ones that do apply. And I just tailor those. These are written, you're right, for guys who post-college are out in the world, they got jobs and families, and so that's what these are tailored for. I just change them and, you know, you can do that. Main thing is to get guys, again, look at men. We need to get them in the Bible. And we need to do this so it's accessible to guys. So they're not feeling ashamed because they didn't do their homework before they came because, you know, they're up late with a throwing up kid and all that stuff. We're not trying to shame them. We're trying to help them. So simple and life stuff. Yes,
Mike. Women do a similar thing?
Women do a similar thing, yeah. I just put this for men because women figure this stuff out. You know, men can kind of walk around the outside for decades, and so this is a great thing for men. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Jeep.
What about someone who is used to just doctrinal stuff, think in terms of study?
Yeah.
And really, it's hard for them to understand that. What do you mean? I listen to the Lord.
I know.
What are you talking about?
Yeah.
I mean, and they
very common.
Understand.
They really. That's common. I mean, if you. I guarantee you do this with a group of men, they'll read and they'll talk about, man, this is where the world's really off base, and you know, none of the people are in our society, the culture's going to hell and so forth, you know, here. I mean, this is something you really have to teach people in terms of, now let's talk about you. What is God saying to you about your life? And I'm just resonating with you. Really just keep have to ask that question. And I think it's a little... It should bother us that people don't know how to listen to the voice of God. I mean, that's a big deal. And so learning to say, listen, as you go through, and I say, look, you're going to hear a whisper. There's going to be a spot where you'll sense in your spirit God is speaking to you. And, well, I don't know, what is that like? Well, let's go give it a shot and see. Is there a place as we read through here where you sense you? And it is, it's hard. We don't, in discipling people, we talk about books and people, we don't talk about spirits. The spirit is a big part of life with God. So it is, there is some, be patient, and gradually guys can get it. But you have to kind of repeat it. Now, we're not talking about theological insights, we're not talking about the rest of the culture out there that's all messed up. We're talking about what do you sense God is saying to you. And you're right, you have to keep coming back to that. And you model it. You model it too. You know, you say, hey, as I see, this is about me. This is about my tendency to be depressed over my lack of results. And God is saying, hey, you need to trust me here. Oh, okay. That's the kind of thing. Yeah, Jack?
You know, speaking of stay on the target, we have a groups of me for many years. And really love each other. Really enjoy. We study the Bible together. But we finally get together. We all are pretty much in one area politically. And we're kind of
right. Oh, yeah.
Well, a guy came to Christ who's just totally as far left as he can be.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to talk politics. We'll just talk about Jesus. You know?
Yeah.
This is great. Say in a word.
Right. Yeah. But as men, you know, I always tell, you know, women cover their bodies, right? You notice that? They want to keep the towel around. Men, we cover our insides. And one of the ways we do that is we talk about, as interesting, talking with the church people that I have, they realize, you know, we talk about each other's kids, we talk about each other's gardens, we talk about each other's work, we talk about, you know, we talk about things that give us conversational points, but we do not talk about God, how I feel about God and what He's saying to me. And we don't talk about my life. I mean, this is... Yeah, what's that?
David in the Psalms.
Yes, David in the Psalms. And again, this isn't being... inappropriate. It's just being rightly transparent and realizing, remember, discipleship is not learning what Jesus came to teach us. It's living like He lived. And that's a huge shift from West to East, from American to Jewish. You know, so it's not a matter of doctrine. Now, you want to know the truth, like Skip talked about. But the truth is just, that's just the beginning so that we can live this stuff. And that's what this D group is designed, to help guys, particularly Christian men who've grown up in the West learning truth but not translating it into life. Is, hey, this is about helping each other live this stuff. John, yeah, you had a...
Yes, how about scripture memory?
That's a good thing. I mean, that'd be good to add. In fact, we're really looking at adding scripture memory. Right now, John, and I would say, look, this is obviously what we're doing here. In many ways, it's basic, it's simple. We haven't added a bunch of other things to it. Now, as you get some guys along, that'd be a great thing. And we're looking at actually, you know, working through the TMS or something together just to give it. But what I've found with men, and this isn't to under-challenge, most men are very tired carrying the load they're carrying. Okay, now you can scold them and say you shouldn't be tired. That doesn't help a bit. They are tired. And they're tired for good reason. They are good men are holding down responsible jobs that take a lot out of them. And they have been relating to people, they've been thinking, they've been dealing with angry people and making difficult decisions. You know, so again, remember Jesus said, there is a sense in which he said, look, my yoke is easy, my load is light. In other words, it's not an oppressive thing. So there's a way to do life with God that doesn't grind you into the ground. And I think we need to help people find that. And part of that is realizing, you know, God can speak to me in a, just giving my heart, my full attention, my life in some short times. We teach people 15 minutes with God when we talk quiet time. Say, look, most of us can't, you know, you could do that back when you were single and so forth. You could spend an hour with God. Not now. God is teaching you and developing you with the load of life. We need to breathe some life into you in some short bursts here. So there's some other things you could add. I've just found, though, keeping it simple, guys look forward to it. They're not coming saying, oh, gee, I didn't do it. They really want to get there because it's like a cool drink of water as opposed to some embarrassing, shameful thing that I have to, you know, show how I failed again this week to not do everything that was expected. Yeah.
Would you talk again about skipping Saturday?
Oh, yeah.
You don't hear that very often.
No, I do say this to people because one of the dark sides of a very disciplined, regimented life is it's very easy to move over into this. God is near me. He protects me. He loves me because I did this. And we can become. Well-disciplined Christians can become some of the meanest, most difficult people to live with because somebody is interrupting our routine. You know, this kid's breaking up my quiet time or my wife's, you know, so we become unloving, legalistic people. Okay, but again, I do. I just say, hey, let's do this 5 days a week. And I say it somewhat tongue-in-cheek, but look, take a day off just so you don't get into this mindset that I have to do this or God will not protect me today. That's what I'm saying. It's just because a big part of doing disciplines is doing it with the right heart, which is understanding I do want to do this. I do this because I need to see God. I don't do this because if I don't do it, He'll depart from me. So, and then Sunday is kind of our, you know, it's our communal time. God will speak to you and we'll do this stuff. But anyway, so you can do what you want with that, but you can feel what I'm after there. Yeah.
Bob, yeah. This is the whole game.
No.
In terms of the broader scope of people that really need more doctrine, you have preaching, you have Sunday school classes.
Yes.
And people that are really ready to go
compete.
Yep. Do more one-on-one work.
Yeah.
Eager to go, but this just covers a huge area where people, I think it was John Wesley said that if you have people come to Christ, bring them together, raise them up into the things of God, you only produce seed for the murderer.
I think this is just a very
important.
This is something that anybody can do. I mean, if a guy has a hunger for God, he can do this thing. And the other thing is anybody can lead it, unless there's some relational crippling. This is very easy to teach a person to lead. So you remember the laborers thing? You know, if we're going to make disciples and really give everybody personal attention, we've got to come up with something that just an ordinary person could do that doesn't sink their boat in terms of difficulty, and that they would, that I can see myself doing this. And so I just say in many contexts, this is something you can teach a guy to do, and he can gather one or two people and do this. Now, the deeper end, that's like BSF, Precept Bible Study, things like that. You know, as guys do this, there's kind of an awakening. They do have a hunger. And sometimes they'll go step into a season of their life where they can spend 5 hours, you know, preparing for a BSF lesson and go to a two-hour evening. And it fits. It fits with their lifestyle. There are a lot of guys who are not in that season. And this is designed to kind of, again, it's to disciple disciple the whole bunch, you know, in a fairly simple way. Now, here's what I did find. It's really interesting. You guys will appreciate this, but I made a bad mistake. Not a bad mistake. I did the best I could, which is we talked about this. We gave this message to my church. It says, look, Jesus tells us to go make disciples. You can make disciples. Here's a way to do it. Okay. Well, as a result of that, probably 1 in 10 did anything. The other 9/10 would listen to it. And basically, they conclude, I can't do that. That's too hard. So what I found, I mean, the best way to teach people to do this is to do it with them. Do it with them. And I had to back up. You know, I'm kind of a, let's get this thing going. Let's get this whole church, you know, straightened up and moving forward, you know, in 2 weeks. And so, all right, I'm going to teach you how. Okay, so ten days, Jonathan. That's right. So I'm going to show you how to have a quiet time. Now, go out and do it. And then 2 weeks, we'll all be nice people. And now, okay, make disciples here. Here's how to do a D group. Let's all go do it. And now, we've got a whole community full of disciple makers by the end of the month. Well, it doesn't happen that way. Yeah, that doesn't work. And so I did. I had to back up and realize, you know, let's go slow and steady here. Let's begin to do this. So again, I started doing this with the elders. Because I realized the elders weren't having a quiet time. And they didn't know how to make a disciple, you know. And so I said, okay, let's do this together. It's the tell, show, you guys do it, then send you out. So we did it with the elders, did it with my staff. I realized my staff guys, they weren't having a quiet time, and they didn't know how to make disciples either. So let's do it with them. So the three guys that are closest to me, I do it with them. And I began to pick little circles of men in different stages, some young guys together, some older middle-aged, some older guys, and just began to do it with them. Then after doing it with them, then you can say, you know, Jesus said he chose 12 that they might be with him, that he might send them out to preach, right?
How long have you been doing it?
Been doing this now about 4 years.
And what's mm-hmm. the results?
It's been good. I mean, I'm encouraged by, you know, the number of people who are able to turn around and do this. Now, okay, if I'm super honest, I'd say after you've demonstrated it and you say, now you guys can go do it, obviously the next step is figuring out how do you, and this is where we need some more attention, how do you make sure that those guys who've been through it, like my roommate did with me, you kind of ekbalo them, you toss them out and make sure that they're doing it. But I would say that of the people who've been through what we've done, they know how to do it. And a good number of them, you know, turned around, and now they do it. We actually do this in our, what we call our community groups, our house churches. We embed these in so that they meet as a big group, but then they meet in these D groups every other week or so. So they actually, if you're in one of our home groups, you get this as part of that home group thing. And that's facilitated a little bit. Hey, Jonathan. Yeah. Yeah.
I just wanted to say I got this from Rock. I know Rock. And I'm a pastor of a church too. It is very simple to do. And he invited me to do it with him and modeled it. He modeled it. I saw mm-hmm. the transparency, the way he shared with the questions. And I'm like, man, that's the most transparent pastor I ever met. But it was life on life. Mm-hmm. No holds barred. He didn't hold anything back. And then from doing that, you know, I did it with my high schoolers at mm-hmm. church with two mm-hmm. of my sons. And I always wanted them to be able to have a quiet time. Mm. And now my son, I mean, they always have, they do better than me mm. on the quiet time.
Yeah.
Because what you're modeling them in the group is what you want them to do on their own. Mm-hmm. So they're seeing how you do it in the group and they do it on their own.
Yeah.
Very effective. I was yeah. very thankful. I've been discipling for a while, but it's helped me. Give me something that was simple yeah. and easy for people to pick on. And then yeah. Tony's here with me today. I started doing with him. He's been discipling for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've never met you before. I've been doing this process with Johnson for 6 months.
Yeah.
And I do it with 7 guys now. Mm-hmm. And one of my guys has done it with 4 called.
Oh, man, it gives me goosebumps. Yeah. That.
You weren't even
going to
be in your class.
No, I think, yeah, we'll. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Well, it's simple, isn't it? And it does, it has grip, it has traction. In other words, you're talking about things that make a difference in guys' lives. And that's what we're after. Good, thanks. That's great testimony. Yeah. Yes, sir?
Do you have a feel for what percentage of your men are in D groups?
Well, I wish I could tell you. I don't. We haven't tracked it as well as I'd like. Yeah.
Do you go in with like a time frame expectation? Hey, you guys.
Yes. Good. Wonderful. Thank you, Doug. What I do with mine is I usually make it a semester. So really, it's about a September through December. Because again, what I'm trying to do is model it so that guys can turn around and do it. That gives us about 14, 15 times together, and in that time they get it. Jonathan, I think we were together a semester, weren't we, through a spring or something. You know, again, in the community groups, those are longer term. Those groups would be together a year or two. You know, now they've got good friends together. So, but if you're working to try to equip some other guys to do it, usually 4 to 6 months is good. And I tell them that. I say, this is for the fall, this is for the spring. And yeah.
In the frequency, I think you
mentioned once a week.
Weekly.
Yep, once a week.
Weekly
or mm-hmm. Yeah, some of them are every other week. Like in the community groups, they might alternate a D group. This is in a home, you know. Sometimes they'd all be together and they do something, and then the next week they'd split up men and women into D groups and go to different parts of the house and that kind of thing. Yes, sir.
Ask how if a man really desires to grow in Christ, then this will be reproduced. This will be effective.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's kind of systematic, a little bit in a ministry,
yeah.
Thing, how do you go about? I mean, you get people in there in those D groups that are just there because it's another thing to do.
Yeah.
Is there kind of a discretion process there?
Yeah. Good question. I think. Well, I would say are you in a ministry at OU? Is that right?
I work with the BSU.
BSU there. Yeah. I mean, I would do, this is a great thing to do with, this is the way I did it, with guys that you sense, they have an eagerness, an enthusiasm, that if you give them a tool, they'll turn around and use it with somebody else. So I'd look for potential leaders first. But to be honest, you know, I've done this with potential leaders. I've done it with new Christians, guys who may not even have come to Christ yet, but they're pretty close. You know, I've done it with some older men who they may never have the energy. I'm just trying to disciple men. So I kind of have a spectrum of guys. But to be honest, if you're starting, your time's limited, I look for potential leaders, guys who you sense, you know, these have the maturity and the initiating energy to pass it on.
Kind of what I'm fishing for is, do you think that it sometimes fosters, that D group can foster that desire to grow?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So yeah. Like I said, you know, you start it with guys who if they're willing to come, you know, that's a measure of desire, and we tell them what this is. Hey, we're reading the Bible, and we're asking to be open and honest, and we're learning to pray out loud. We're learning to pray for each other, and so if a guy has a hunger to learn those things, that's a good sign. And it is. I mean, guys really love this. There's no other place they get to do this kind of thing. And God regularly shows up. You know, now there's a spiritual side. You just pray, God, will you open their hearts? Will you cause, you know, will you speak to guys so when they do read it, they do hear what you want to say to them? I mean, so there's a prayer component that only God does. But you know, when you mix God working with these kinds of things, good things happen. So again, this is simple. It is very reproducible. That's what we were looking for, is something that's easy to do.
How do you go about recruiting?
Just call them on the phone and ask them.
Call them on the phone and ask them?
Yeah. That, actually, what I'll do, process, I will email, and basically what I'll do is I'll email them. That gives them a good description. And often, actually, I'll start with an email, and I have a little description. This is what we're doing. It's when we meet. You want to come. Often they'll come back and say, yeah, I'd love to do that. If not, you know, give them a call. Then I give them a call.
Is that what your guys do too? The guys that you've been through, they'll do the same thing?
Yeah. Well, you know, to be honest, I'd assume they would, because that's what they've, you know, that's what I've modeled for them. Yeah. So usually, you know, I do. And this comes back, Micah, to your question. I'll pray, say, Lord, who do you want? I'll make a list of guys. I'll kind of group them in similar age, stage of life. Or the other thing that I've done is I say, hey, I've got two of these. Pick a time and a place that works for you. Love to have you. And then, you know, see who responds. Work with the guys who respond. Pretty simple. Yes. Yeah, Howard.
Would you address the trust confidentiality issues, especially the short time you're talking?
Yes, yep.
Because some folks like to get to know people.
They do.
Some of your questions, you know, are much more personal and less. You know, so you sit there and say, what are your greatest temptations? And next week, you know, the whole church knows about so-and-so's greatest
temptations. Yeah, no, that's good, Howard, good. I should have given you this. We have a little covenant, you know, that we sign, and it talks about be here, you know, unless you're out of town or dead, you know, kind of a thing. The other is confidentiality. What's said here stays here. And the other is a commitment to honestly engage in the process, you know, to work at finding time to meet with the Lord between times, and then when we share, to give an honest, open answer. So, I mean, those are really the kind of three commitments. But we address the confidentiality thing. And I just find, and you're right, some guys, it does take them longer to be trusting and open up and transparent. Again, I just find if you model that as a leader, guys very quickly pick up that this isn't just, you know, deflecting the question. This is a call to really search your soul and give it your best answer so that we can help each other. So I found guys pick that up pretty quickly. Yes.
Your groups meet on campus or off campus?
Well, let's see. Our guys are, you know, ours are mostly adults that are scattered around the city.
Probably like at your church campus.
Yeah, church campus. I do mine in my office, and I just set up different times when guys could come. But it's designed to, I mean, this kind of thing could be done in an office building, a school out there. I just happen to do it at my place. And then the other place is at our home. I've done them in our home, where, particularly for guys who are fathers and they've got to put their kids to bed. We do a late night one. We did one that started, gosh, it seemed like it was 9 o'clock, you know, 9 to 10 kind of a thing, just so they could put kids to bed and come on over. So home or office, but it's, you know, sitting around a living room kind of thing. That's what you're doing. Yes?
Mr. Baum, I don't want to say this without coming across too judgmental, I guess, but it seems like, you know, what you're presenting here is something, it's like a framework, it's a model. It's not limited just to this.
Yeah.
So I want to challenge everyone to, you know, let God activate your imagination, whatever works.
Right.
And we have a saying from my church, we do anything short of send or reach people.
Yeah.
So whatever it takes to, you know, invite someone, whatever it takes to make this happen, you know, go for it.
Yeah.
See what's out there. Don't just think about what's the example.
Yes. Sure. You
know, it's a formless.
Yep. In terms of.
What's that saying you said?
Yeah.
Do anything short of send to reach people. Right. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Right. Yeah. No, that's good. So what I do think, I guess what I would press on, is there are certain. There's certain elements, there's certain things, if you mix them together, it does you know, God talks about, promises life change. So I think that's where the scriptures are so important. That's where getting people into the Word of God. And I think it was Howard or Mike, one of you guys were asking. No, it's Bob, you were asking about some of the deeper stuff. I love that. I've been through that, you know, precept. As I look back on my life, I mean, this would be my observation after 40-some years. I have learned more about God and the ways of God through daily reading the Bible than I have through all the books, seminaries, seminars, conferences, and even deeper Bible studies put together. There's something about that daily reading the Scripture. It's kind of like driving around a town. You know, when you drive around a town, you learn where the dead ends are. You learn what streets go through. You learn how to get there. You learn where the traffic jams up. And that's why, honestly, if you were to ask me, what are you thinking? I'm thinking, if I can get a guy to daily read the Scriptures on his own and get life from it, or it's not just master the book, but live by it. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. You know, I understand it so I can live it. My sense is, theologically, all the stuff that sometimes we do, I'm for all those other things, but there's just enormous value in getting this into a guy's life, the daily reading of the Scriptures. And that's, you know, and then out of that, often a hunger, and certain personalities gravitate towards more analytical study and deeper things. Other people, this may be their thing. So that's all I'd say about that.
Well, yeah, Bob. Navigator thing too, that when we come to this conference, there's always last page. What are those two or three things you're going to take from you that's going to be an application of ours in my congregation? I'm a pastor too, but I talk about things going from my head to my heart.
Yes, yeah.
And I know, yeah. John Rock has said to me, he said, Bob, you know, people can try to memorize a verse a day. Dawson Trotman did that for a couple of years. Kirk Humphrey said, don't be did that for 6 months. But he said, if you just get two or three scriptures that really make it to your heart a month, you're really going to be transformed. And I think your whole emphasis on listening to the voice of God and calling all of that and taking just a couple is right on.
Yeah.
You know? And there's different, you know, as I said, you know, earlier, there's this is not the only game in town, but it sure is a really good one. Really good one.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Just getting guys to realize God lives them and speaks to them, and He speaks through the Word, and to live by it. You know, again, living by the Word means I'm taking what God shows me here, and I'm using it to do life today, and that's what happens in that daily. I'm reading, and the Spirit is very faithful. He'll speak about that. The question is, am I listening and converting it into it, my ability to do life in a godly way today? You know, deal with a difficult person I've got to meet with, or recover from, you know, some kind of jarring thing or whatever. So this, it teaches guys to live by the Word. Yeah, good. Well, good. Okay, listen, our time's up. If you'd like to visit personally, come on up. Thanks so much for coming. Great to have you guys here. And feel free to visit if you'd like to afterwards. We're done.
Copyright by The Navigators, 2013, all rights reserved.